FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have all the reaction to the weekend match between FC United and Stalybridge Celtic for the men's team, and later in the show, we'll also be hearing if the women's team could progress in the FA Cup. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with last Tuesday night at Broadhurst Park, as FC United hosted league leaders South Shields, and despite competing with the Mariners for long periods, it would be the North East club who would get the 3 points.
South Shields with the ball on the right hand side. Hunter. Hunter takes it to the corner flag. Can he get across in here? He takes it into the box. And it's a goal. Well, he was allowed to take it right to the byline. Good thrusting run. But really, it's Lee Mason who puts it in. But surely some FC defender has got to be marking up there. And a bit of a soft one there in the end for South Shields as they take the lead.
Yeah, well, what you've got to say is that it was a great run by Hunter along that byline, but it should have been dealt with. The FC player basically just ran alongside him rather than competed against him. And once he sent that ball into that 6 yard area, Mason was just there and he just side footed it straight into the net from about 2 yards out, completely beaten at the front post.
Now, Jordan Hunter takes it towards the 18-yard box, plays it back to Baxter. Square ball there. Turnbull. Turnbull out to the left-hand side. Blair Adams takes it. Odolusi. Odolusi by the corner flag. Left-footed crossing. Ward spills it, then saves the rebound. FC in trouble here. Low with a shot. It's another fourth attempt. It's a goal and a mistake, a rare mistake from Patrick Wharton. Pretty much gives the game to South Shields. FC though did have maybe a chance to deal with it after the original.
Yep.
And Gilchrist, the ex-FC player there, to punish his old team.
Three times I'd say there, James, that FC had the chance to actually get a foot underneath it and away, a defensive clearance, and each time they just hit a low shot into the pressure of the South Shields players, and they had about three or four shots there before Gilchrist actually fired it in, and it was a good finish in the end. Done with power, left foot, boom.
FC Live there from Tuesday night. In other news, and FC United are proud to announce that the club will be holding a United Reunited Day this Saturday, the 12th of October. Owing to the international break, there are no Premier League fixtures this weekend, so the club would like to welcome as many Manchester United supporters as possible to come and join fellow Reds at Broadhurst Park for the match with Buxton this Saturday. And finally for this week's news, the club have announced the loaning out of midfielder Craig Carney to Clitheroe. Here's FC United manager Neil Reynolds on the news.
Obviously, I've got a lot of numbers now. You know, people are coming back, and Craig's been, you know, ultimate professional. You know, one of the fittest lads in the whole squad. But you know, just due to lads form, he hasn't been able to, you know, cement a place in the team. And Craig wants to play. You know, he's 26, 27. So I got really well with Phil Brown at Clitheroe. And Phil said, listen, we'll take you for a month. And people say, you know, when they go out on loan, they don't come back. I can't guarantee they're going to come back because, you know, we're not on contract. But we've got a gentleman's agreement that if things don't work out, you know, Clitheroe or at FC, and we need injuries, then we've got first dibs on Carnes coming back. He could then turn around and say, no, I'm happy where I am, because obviously there's no contract. But we have set up a gentleman's agreement. Craig goes with our best wishes. And who knows, you know, we may see him again in the future. You know, I was honest with him. You know, I said that he's not being released. He's part of the squad, but at the minute he's not been able to command the play. So he's gone out.
You've got so many players. You're having to juggle around, and you brought in some loanees as well recently as well. So there's no guarantee that those loanees will be staying that long either. So it's a juggling act, isn't it, to make sure you've got players who are part of the squad for a bit of a longer period who are match fit.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, you look at Curran's performance on Tuesday night, and Jim Gannon's in the stands, and you know, I like Jim, I like Stockport, but you see Stockport getting beat last Saturday 4-0 at home, and what Curran's got to offer. And, you know, if we get him fit and firing, then Stockport are going to be looking to take him back, probably. Same with Alex Babos. You know, he's in and around Derby, and I'm sure he's going to be going out in the January transfer window. You know, we brought players in to freshen up the squad and to keep people on the toes. But at the same time, you know, when you bring people in, people have got to go out. But what I want, you know, players to do is learn from the likes of Curran and Babos, who are playing at a high level than what we are. But also, you know, the same token, trying to keep himself fit. So when they do get their opportunity, they can come in there and do a similar job. You know, there's another lad that's going out of the squad, Rain Halliwell. You know, I've spoken to Rain all week, and Rain wants to go and play. Desperately wants his future be at FC United. But I said, listen, man, you need to go and play games. And, you know, we're hopeful of doing a deal tonight to get Rain out for a month. And then there may be another one, you know, in the next few days, which I won't talk about yet until it's confirmed. But, you know, that's what happens with the squad. You know, I put a brand new squad together in pre-season. The lads have been absolutely amazing. But you learn about players, don't you? You learn about, you know, different dynamics. And as you go along, you have to tweak it. We've tweaked it. We've got a little bit of success. People go out, people come in. But on the whole, it's still a, you know, United squad that we built in pre-season.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the players who's been out injured recently is Charlie Ennis. And as I understand, he's back training now.
Yeah, Chaz has been a massive miss. I think everyone saw him pre-season, what a talent he is. You know, he's had a number of injuries over the last few years and, you know, lost his way at football a little bit. But he's fallen in love with FC United and his time at FC United. And, you know, we've missed him. You know, Chaz has got so many qualities. And you know, Liv, the physio, said that he's not right. He's been desperate to get back for a couple of weeks, but he hasn't been right. Last Tuesday, before the South Shields game, he did a full warm-up. Last night he did a full training session, and the temptation is, do I bring him into the squad tomorrow against his old club Stalybridge, or do we wait until Tuesday night and give him a full 90 or a full 75 maybe against Radcliffe? I've got to tour it up tonight, but to have the likes of Charlie Ennis back is a huge, huge plus for us, and you know, we welcome him back into the squad.
Absolutely, and you touched upon the Radcliffe match there. That's obviously the Manchester Premier Cup on Tuesday night, and well, one of the advantages of the big squad we've got is that you can move things around. So are you looking forward to Stalybridge Celtic on Saturday, and then the Radcliffe match on Tuesday?
You know, touched upon Radcliffe. You know, I can't wait for it. We've had Jack Bartram training with the squad. Who, you know, if people Google him, he played for Barrow last season. I think 38, 40 games. He's a wonderful talent. You know, James Joyce hasn't had many minutes recently. I've got Lenehan, I've got Griffiths, I've got Ennis, I've got Rodney, I've got Donoghue. You know, they're all ever going to come into the team on Tuesday. And, you know, when you put the side on paper, you know, the side's good enough to go out tomorrow against Stalybridge. Unfortunately for them lads is that the lads in front of them have just been doing enough to keep the shirts. In terms of Stalybridge tomorrow, what do I expect? There's going to be a little bit of needle in the game. Obviously, ex-players from either side. It's they were our ex-landlords, if you will, when FC played down there. And I'm sure that a lot of FC fans are going to turn up tomorrow and cheer on the boys. But you know, tomorrow is a game that I'm targeting to win. You know, and that's no disrespect to Stalybridge, but we harbour a little ambition in our dressing room. And if we want to be where we want to be, then we need to go and get points tomorrow. And, you know, looking at the last few games, there's no reason why we can't do. We know Stalybridge's threats. We know what they're about. But I also know my team. And my team played really well the other night, and that's with one or two people underperforming. So I'm expecting a really good performance. I'm ready for lads to cross the white line tomorrow and give a really good account of themselves. And, you know, at me, like I am, I want to win the game tomorrow.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Ben there ahead of Saturday's match at Stalybridge. And it is that game that we turn to now, and to hear how the Reds got on, it's over to FC Live at Bower Fold.
Welcome everyone to Bower Fold, the home of Stalybridge Celtic, and for this opening gambit of the broadcast, we're joined by Stato Paul. Hello Paul,
good
how
afternoon.
Are you? So we've got you on to discuss this afternoon's game from a stat perspective.
Okay, it looks like a very even game between two sides. There's only a point and a place between them. Stalybridge Celtic have been unchanged for the last three games, which they've won the last two. But the crumb of comfort for the visitors today is that Stalybridge have won two and lost two of their four home games. So a bit inconsistent at Barfold.
Obviously, something that you picked up in the pre-match build-up, the fact that we're coming across a lot of teams with a lot of ex-FCers.
Stalybridge are the seventh out of 11 this season to have ex-FC players in the squad.
So we've got Callum Mantak, who starts this afternoon. Obviously, he had a relationship with Stockport County as well. And Steve O'Halloran on the substitutes bench.
Yeah, O'Halloran played the first 11 games this season and then lost his place, so he's missed the last two. But yeah, he played 45 times for us last season.
And when it comes to team news from an FC United perspective, a follow-up to the match which took place on Tuesday night. Admittedly, we did get beat, but we got beat by South Shields and we didn't play too badly, I thought.
I thought we matched them for long periods of the game, and I don't think it was any disgrace to lose to South Shields. Today, of course, is a different type of game. We're playing a mid-table club like us, and I think it is a winnable game.
Luke Griffiths starts this afternoon in midfield alongside Potts. Bebos starts as well, but no Tom Dean and Craig Carney.
Yes, we've lost one player to Clitheroe, haven't we, in terms of the loan deal, so that's a change of fortunes. And yes, it's interesting that Ennis is back on the bench as well, another interesting change.
Well, Ennis has been in Neil mentioned in his pre-match chat that back in training, did a warm-up, but the player we're talking about who's gone off to Clitheroe on loan is Craig Carney. Interesting one, that, but we have got a big squad, haven't we?
Yeah, and there's options for him to bring somebody in, we believe, to play right back in the near future, so maybe that's the reason why Carney's been allowed to go on loan.
We've delayed it long enough. It's time to bring in our overseas correspondent. Just to say this, Swampy, obviously, no disgrace in getting beat by South Shields last week.
Well, listen, I've watched the game back, and I've got to say that long periods of the game, they were quite even, but there was a professionalism about South Shields. It's no surprise with a team that actually trains, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, with a very large budget and equally some good quality players. I think, as Paul just alluded to there, today's a very much a different kettle of fish, and we have to prove ourselves against a team that we're going to be competing with for points, and not only for that, for positions in this division. So, yeah, I mean, I think Neil was happy to a degree. I think the supporters went home happy with some good football today. Let's kick on. Let's start to build up again the winning mentality and see if we can get the 3 points.
For Stalybridge, obviously last season was a very disappointing season, really. I mean, they were lucky not to get relegated in a lot of ways. Mm. They've had a much better start this year.
They have indeed, and the compacts on the pitch, they work hard, they work for each other, they're hard to close down, and you know, considering where they were last season, it's been a rebuilding, as it has for FC United and Manchester, the two teams in transition really, and as I say, they've got a little bit of quality in the team. There's quite a number of players that we know, and that's what will make today an interesting encounter. But as I say, I think FC just have to just get back to winning ways, just put a good performance in. We've always had entertaining games here in the past when it's come to this sort of like, not quite local derby, but it's one of our nearest sort of like rivals, I suppose. And looking forward to it very much.
Paul, just before we hand over your headset to Roy Sewell, who's also here, we should say, any closing stats?
In a parallel universe, we could be playing at Brackley Town in the FA Cup today, so we'd be grateful that we're at Bower Fold in a way.
Yeah, but lovely cricket pitch next door to it. Remember, it was lovely, wasn't it?
Nice long journey back as well.
As I said on the good MPL show, which didn't make the final edit in the end, who's playing cricket in October, Swampy? It's no comfort whatsoever.
I think you'll find quite a lot of people are still playing cricket in October.
Yeah.
Around the world.
In the Southern Hemisphere, mainly. Anyway,
the last meeting between the clubs was the Manchester Premier Cup final in 2017 at Boundary Park.
Oh, what a night.
Yes.
Oh, what a night.
Paul, a big thank you for joining us. We'll get more from you at half time, when we'll be joined also by Woodzo as well. Full commentary team this afternoon. We're only missing Emily, really.
So
Neil Reynolds walking off the pitch there, and the teams are now coming out onto the pitch, so it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's match. This is FC Live, brought to you by constructivecody.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. It's FC United against Stalybridge Celtic, and it's Roy Sewell, but first Swampy.
It's going to be a free kick, and it looks like the number two, Declan Walker, is the man who's going to take it. Now, shot comes in, and it's scuffled. Well, I said it was gathered initially by Wharton, and you can hear the cheers because it just squirmed out of his hand, and that's one of the first mistakes he's really made as a goalkeeper from a saving perspective, and they capitalise upon it. They pounce quicker, and a goal for Stenbridge Celtic, yeah, in the first, what?
2 minutes.
2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, Darius will say.
And it's cleared by Dent, but good work from Doyle. Plays it out to the right-hand side. Ennis. Oh, nice 1-2 there. Can't quite. Mantak defends well. Potts is in there. Potts can't quite get control of it, though. Good work from Baybos. Wins the ball. Plays it out left-hand side to Dodd. Dodd, square ball. Griffiths, though, a bit fast there for him. Manages to get control eventually. Now Curtis Jones. Now Ennis, the substitute. Ennis moving forward there. Slides it for a great ball. Oh, Alarmi! Scores! Magnificent football! And Ennis! And Charlie Ennis brought on as a substitute with an absolute slide rule through ball. Oh, Alarmi took it well on the turn and placed it. A beautiful finish. And FC United make it all square.
And that's what he's done. That's what he should have done before when he put that ball over the top. Actually opened his foot up, kept his composure, and just passed it into the far corner of the net to level the score up 1-1.
56 minutes.
90 seconds Ennis was on the pitch for.
Still 1-1. Saileybridge bring it forward now. Hobson pursues to the corner flag. Jones clears. It comes
ball
off. And they're quickly taken. Griffiths. Griffiths has to play it back to Wharton. Wharton there, he's got a save pressing him, but plays it out neatly. Morris nods it down the right hand side. It's played back there by Staleybridge player. Alarmi! It's going to go wide, I think. Alarmi keeps it in. Alarmi with a chance. It's breaking now. Finish! It's 2-1. Terrible mix up at the back from Staleybridge. But great pursuit by Alarmi, pursued it to the byline, got it back into play. Little bit of a mini melee really in the box. It came to Ennis, and the man who was brought on a substitute, who provided the assist for the first goal, now scores the second goal, and FC United lead by 2-1. 66 minute.
Well, this is going to be delivered into the box for the left-hand side, and it's going to be whipped in with pace and purpose. It's a decent ball in across everybody. And it's the substitute,
really,
I think. Is it the substitute? No, it's not.
Number
actually. It's
Osse.
Osse again.
Got a second goal.
Two goals for Osse, but as I say, I wasn't sure whether the referee himself was or should have given the free kick, but with 12 minutes to go, FC United of Manchester find themselves on level term here at Bowerfold, and it was a great header, but the delivery from that position was a better delivery than you're going to get from a corner, and he hit it, came across, and it's two apiece. And on the balance of play, as I say, from a neutral perspective, not our perspective,
I don't think you can split them.
However, can FC United make amends? Now,
last minute,
the free kick in the final, in the 90th minute, is not too dissimilar to where their goal came from. So can FC United capitalise upon that as well? The only thing for me is everyone's going far post rather than coming in the near post and putting that number of red shirts really in front of the goalkeeper.
Yeah, and Ennis has actually sneaked maybe 5 yards more as well to get a better angle on it.
Four additional minutes is going to be. The ball's whipped in.
Oh, it's there!
Ennis has just whipped it in. I said they left a massive gap. The goalkeeper again should have done better. The defence should have done better, but you know what? At this moment in time, no one cares. The ball's in the back of the net, and FC United and Manchester, with four additional minutes to replay in this game, find themselves 3-2 up, and the referee is coming to congratulate the players. No, he wants them all to get off the pitch.
Two goals and one assist for the substitute.
And two mistakes by the goalkeeper, and all, I've got to say that. You know.
But they are the kind of balls when you're whipping, they're dangerous. And
they are, because you don't know whether the defender's going to deal with it or whether or not you have to deal with it.
And the thing is, not really, no FC players went to the ball. Their defenders tried to go to the ball. It went beyond everyone.
Yep.
Well, can FC hold out in the final 4 minutes? And it's going to be one last ditch attempt. It's going to be a long throw into the penalty area. Can FC United defend this? James Quinn's got his hands in his head.
What a throw.
Beautiful ball comes across on the edge of the penalty area. Who's it for? The number two. He flicks it back in. Looking for an offside. Headed away from Curtis Jones. And the referee has said that'll do. And that has been, to be honest, a hard fought games. Two teams mid-table, and two teams with a bit of quality, two teams with some poor defending, two teams with forward and backwards, put in the effort in, putting their supporters through the mill. And FC United, well, we were talking about, could they come back after the 2-0 defeat on Tuesday against a very, very good South Shields team, with a good performance as well from FC on Tuesday. But today's performance was going to be very different against a very different type of team. And they've proven, Roy, that they actually can battle, they can work, and they can get something out of it.
Yeah, definitely. I feel that, you know, the game, you know, for a 90-minute game was a spectacle. Both the sets of players did themselves proud in the way they applied themselves. You know, they had an edge to the game, they had a pressure to the game. There was chances there galore where it could well have been maybe a 7-6 sort of game, you know, and I'll say in favour of FC, because FC, you know, scored the extra goal to make it a 3-2 victory. But right away through there was stuff going on, there was little bits of niggles here, there and everywhere. And I've got to say this, you know, the officials, although on occasions gave a little bit of a head-scratching decision, actually led towards keeping the game going and flowing all the time.
I think you're right in many regards of the game. What was interesting as well, there wasn't a bad challenge in the game in reality.
There wasn't.
There was no maliciousness amongst the players of both teams. But it was a game. As I say, if you'd been a neutral here this afternoon, you would have really, really enjoyed it. If you're a supporter
Definitely.
Or a commentator, it's quite nerve wracking. Sometimes it's actually less nerve wracking with the headsets on. It calms your nerves a little bit. But the huddle and all the players and the management team and the halfway line from an FC perspective, I've also got to say, what a tremendous support from FC this afternoon. I mean,
yeah,
let's
superb,
be honest, 70% of the supporters in here this afternoon are from FC.
All four ends of this ground, or sides of this ground, have FC in numbers and abundance, and you could hear them all the moments, you
and
know.
Nigh on none of them have left, and
no.
The main stand Barmy Army on the right hand side, and all the guys behind the goal as well, we're all going to give them a rapturous applause, because it was entertaining. It was exactly what Northern Premier football is about: cut and thrust, bluster, bit of quality, mistakes. Could have been 7-6, as you say. There were some great chances for Stanley Bridge Celtic, some Giltaz chances equally from FC's perspective as well. Before we got the third, hit the crossbar, it was the pace of the ball. I know it had a deflection, but it was another opportunity, and we're going back to Broadhurst Park with the 3 points. We've got a game on Tuesday, a Manchester Premier Cup against Ratcliffe Borough. And you know, the difference really, I mean, and this is a thing, Roy, you know, you've been in the professional game and you're with a very big professional football club now, but when you set yourself up when you're playing in the Premier League or the National League, the League One or League Two, every team plays a very similar way, don't they?
They do. Yeah.
But when you get down to this level, clubs all play differently. So you've got to, as a manager, know a lot more of how you need to prepare your players against certain teams. There's more, I think, to a degree, there's more tactics here, because you're always playing against very different types of teams. This team were quite direct today, with lots of pace going over the top. We'll play South Shields, who are a footballing team, have got professionalism, train 4 days a week, and you can tell that. So you've got to try and accommodate that. So it's a hard job, isn't it, managing lower level football?
It is, in one respect. What I would say is that the biggest factor is the inconsistency of non-league players.
Unlike this radio station, which is consistently inconsistent.
Yeah, but from match to match, and possibly, you know, sometimes, you know, within matches. And the thing is, like, because of that inconsistency, I've always tried to concentrate on my own team and the strengths and weaknesses of my team, knowing obviously the strengths and weaknesses of your opponents, but don't wholeheartedly set yourself up to counteract theirs, if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand.
You know,
that,
work
yeah.
on your own strengths, and you know, hopefully, you know, your strengths and the way you do it, and put, you know, apply yourself on the field consistently, gets you over the line, and it has done today.
It does indeed, yeah. And the other thing as well is there's a lot of players that come and go in teams, so you never always know what to expect. And you know, this afternoon, I mean, it's a team effort, though, and 100%, and FC United, every player has put a shift and a half in.
I think he's done really well, Adam Dodd. I think he was excellent, and, you know, with him and Griffiths just in front of the two centre-backs, I think them two were outstanding today. But you can't take anything away from any of the
James
players.
Quinn's quite happy. He's down on the touchline.
Yeah.
Fist bumping plays. He wants a handshake. Or is he just networking? Is that what he's doing? I'm not quite sure. He's there, though. He's looking like... He could be a football manager. Those two players in particular, I think you're right. I mean, I've seen Luke Griffiths quite a lot this year. I just think he's just a delight to watch.
Yeah.
Because he reads the game well. He gets into position. His distribution is superb. And he's always covering other people.
Yeah,
you know, that's what he's doing.
But he also leads, you know, to a lot of good offensive play as well. You know, he pushes up that line, and he very rarely, you know, plays a poor ball.
We're just getting breaking news that James Quinn indeed is going to become FC United's new assistant manager. He's the assistant manager. James Quinn is now here with us. James Quinn, talk us about the new position as assistant manager.
Oh, ever since you got called assistant to the assistant, you don't like it.
Oh, no, no. Yeah. Well, I always believe if you're an assistant, you're not an assistant to an assistant, but it was...
Your assistant well done, Paddy.
Well played, son. He's still celebrating with the supporters. He forgot he had to go and get changed.
And when you think about it as well, I mean, we've had like five goals here, haven't you? And three of them, you could say, were goalkeeping errors as well, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah. Ben, have you got, while we're discussing the football,
some
have you got any football scores? I believe the mighty Hyde who have thrashed in the past the likes of South Shields have been beaten by lonely Ratcliffe today.
Yeah, the biggest surprise is that Ratcliffe got a match under their belt.
Well, that anyway, is that. I have to congratulate them for that. Well done, Ratcliffe.
Ratcliffe have won today by 3-0. Berkey won't like that, will he?
No, he's not. I've just read a post.
He got Will, though.
Bamber Bridge 1, Witton Albion 1. Bamber Bridge there getting an equaliser on the 96th minute.
Now, Ben, can you just clarify for the listener, are these league games or these
league
FA?
Games? These are league games.
Fantastic.
Baseford United have won today by
four. Basford.
Baseford United have won by four Basford. Goals to three against Gansborough Trinity. Lancaster City 1, Matlock 0. That's a latest score in that one. Mickleover beating Scarborough by 1-0.
Matlock, it's just wobbling at the moment, isn't it? A little bit of a wobble for Matlock if they get beaten.
I think they
again.
Won midweek, didn't they?
Considering where they... Okay, carry on.
South Shields are beating Atherton Coles by 3-0. Poor Gibbo.
Right. Mm.
And it's finished here. Stalybridge Celtic 2, FC United and Manchester 3, of course. So in the FA Cup...
How does that affect the... No, how does it affect the league already, Ben? Come
we're
on.
We're 11th.
So we've won up one
again.
Place.
Yeah, we're 11th.
Well, we were 12th.
We're 11th. We're always going to be 11th up until about April.
Is it saying 11th?
Right, give you the FA Cup scores.
Come on then, give us the FA Cup scores.
Ashton United 2, Spennymoor 6 in the end. Congratulations to Belper
Spennymoor
Town.
Spennymoor what, sorry?
6. They're beating Ashton United by 6-2. Belper have beaten Rush Olympic.
Don't go there!
I know, but well done to Belper. 2-1 against the current league leaders of the Central League, Rush Olympic.
That's a very big result for them. Good result as well, yes.
Buxton 1, York City 2. Buxton were 1-0
up. That's
a
shame, isn't it? Another team out from Derbyshire, unfortunately.
Brackley Town 2, Warrington Town 0. So Warrington are out. Cone have beaten Dunstan by 3-2. So Cone, furthest they've ever gone in the FA Cup. Kidsgrove have been beaten at home to Gateshead by 1-0. King's Lynn have beaten Leek Town by 2-0. Nantwich have beaten Morpeth by 1-0. Sutton Coldfield have been beaten at home by Boston United by 1-0. And it's one apiece between Whitby Town and Gloucester City.
And luckily, now, to put you out of your misery, the boss man's back. Bring him round here. Yeah, let's go. You talked to Ben on Friday about the positives of the defeat against South Shields, the quality of football that we're seeing in patches. You also said that you knew today was going to be a very different game against a very different type of team. And we couldn't have got off to a worse possible start.
Listen, he's been...
Don't step any further back, though, by the way, because I don't want you falling.
I've got to say, Paddy Wharton's been immaculate this season. Absolutely. And, you know, he's made a mistake, and you could see that he was distraught. It affected him all game, but I've just put my arms around him in there, and I said, you've been incredible for me this season and for the club. And, you know, it's our job, if you do make a mistake, to get you out of it. And the lads have got him out of it today. you know, he is a fantastic goalkeeper and he'll learn from that. Devastated, but we've won. We've won well.
We were suggesting in commentary that, I mean, there was a lot of pace in the shot, let's be honest. Yeah. It was a ferocious shot. Mm. And most goalkeepers, once it went away from him, would have got the second opportunity to pounce, but they were quick. They were very quick. And, you know, but then he goes and makes a double save. I mean, that is two worldies. So, you can forgive him completely.
I've forgiven him completely. You know, he's been amazing for us this season. The amount of one-on-ones he saved, he's a fantastic kid, fantastic goalkeeper. And listen, even if we wouldn't have won today, I would have still been saying the same things about him. I think the world of him. And, you know, he's let's just let him forget it.
Well, people would say to me, Swampy, let the manager talk. So I'm going to ask you a question and I'm going to let you then talk. Talk us through your thought process of the game today and how it went for you and what your overall satisfaction was.
So I don't know if people saw the warm-up. I came in there and I said, that's the best warm-up I have seen, you know, from the last few years. The lads were absolutely on it. I could see there was thunder in their eyes. The way we're moving the ball, I thought, I've got a really good feeling. We get off to a bad start, don't we? And then it's test of character, you know. And I said week in, week out, that this squad, as it grows together, it will get stronger and stronger and stronger. And you've seen, you know, when we hit back, I thought we were playing some great football, and I thought we deserved to equalise. And as the first half came to a close, I predicted we'd win 3-1 in the second half. And I said how we were going to do it. And, you know, I flipped Jordan out to the wide area, knowing that Charlie was going to come on because, you know, he's trained all week. And so we set up, and then when we made the substitution, yes, the goal, but then we went through a period of 10, 15 minutes. We were great. My frustration was, after we scored, you probably could hear me, that we dropped.
Oh, yes, we could hear you.
Yeah, we dropped deep again. We stopped getting on the ball in the, you know, higher up the park, and then it became a fighting ball. And then we surrendered possession. Then we did our old, you know, adage, diving in on the edge of the box to get a free kick. We switch off our marker. I'm shouting, touch tight. Goals 2-2. But then, you know, cometh the hour, cometh the man. You know, we get a free kick. Tundy doesn't give it up here against Smalley. Gets his free kick. And I always say to lads, go and score on the back stick. Because if it misses everybody, it goes in. You know, and I was screaming it the other week when Donald was taking the free kick. And, you know, he put it wider. If you go and put it on target, it misses everybody, it goes in. Charlie Ellis deserved that. You know, he spent 100 games here and he's got a lot of plaudits here. For me, I think he's a wonderful talent. We've missed him in the squad. He's come back. He's a hero today. But all in all, I think we deserve to win today. You know, I'm not saying we deserve to win. Yes, they have chances. Everyone at this level is going to have chances. But I thought we were the better footballing team.
I think, Roy, you said, didn't you, in commentary, you said at the end of the game, you said that could have been a 7-6 in FC's favour. They had some very good chances. But the fact that we won 3-2, 7-6 wouldn't have been a fair reflection. And a great game for a neutral. I mean,
it's a tremendous game. You know, there's no two ways about it. The thing is, like, you know, within the five goals that were scored, three of them were goalkeeping errors as well. But the one on Wharton, he had a little bit of misfortune there. The kid cracked a cracking shot from the edge of the box that just hit the dirt in front of him. And as it came up, it hit him in the chest before he had a chance to grab it. You could say that great follow-up by their forwards, but you could also say poor follow-up by our defenders.
Absolutely. It's a hard one to read, isn't it? It goes in that quickly. I think, you know, looking at play, can't really win. We win 1-0, we're not scoring enough goals. So we go a little bit more attacking, we concede goals and we score more. So it's no good for my heart, you know, I'll be honest with you. But listen, I'm delighted for everybody. It's a, you know, someone just reminded me the last time we lost was first game of the season away from home. So, you know, we're putting some home form together now. Pleasing performance in midweek and another win here.
And how important is that? Because obviously we've gone on a good run. It came to an end. And Roy, yourself, as managers, will always say, right, we need to dust ourselves down, go again, and let's start that run. So that's got to be really satisfying because it was an entertaining game.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good quality. There was a lot of mistakes. And those are the mistakes that you can work on in training.
I think,
go again and get that 3 points straight away.
You know, we go again, and that is key. But I look at the last 11 games, and if you're going to tell me I was going to lose two of the title favourites against South Shield and Warrington, and, you know, going to go on and defeat in the other nine, I would have taken that. So it's not about starting again now. It's about two defeats in 11. You know, we'll keep that. That record at any level of football is amazing. Today was important that we didn't lose. Today was important that we got choosing out of our system. Thursday was great. And you know what? There's no better feeling. I've put it on my board. There's six key points. And the bottom one, I've said basically, there's no better feeling than winning. And if that doesn't drive you, then you're not for me. And the lads said that. And, you know, at the end of the game, they just had a sing-song about FC, and it was great.
We got the 3 points. Would you have been very disappointed, or would you have taken your point?
No.
Two.
No, I would have been disappointed. I would have saved themselves there, because you can't do what we did there. You know, the game, we managed the game, control the game, no need to dive in, no need to switch off. It's 2-0. We've got to urgently rectify that. And it doesn't matter which combination we use, we're still not brave enough in both boxes. I'll still say that. We've got to die there. We've just got to prevent at all costs that ball crossing the line. But then, you know, we got the chance, and I would have felt aggrieved if we would have got a point. But I'll take that. And, you know, the fans' reaction at the end was great.
You've got a under 23 from Derby County in Babos, and a good introduction. He played, you know, he's had a couple of games now. What's he thinking about playing at this standard and finding how tough it is?
He loves it. He absolutely loves it. And, you know, I can't speak out of turn. I know we've got him to the 27th, but, you know, he really, really enjoys his football here. And similar to Paddy Wharton, he doesn't want to necessarily be playing 23's football. And I don't want to, you know, to his detriment at Derby, but he's loved it. And I think at times today, when you get him on the ball, he's such an exciting talent. Yeah, maybe he hasn't got that other side of his game yet, you know, that muscle, hustle and bustle that you get at non-league. But as a kid, you know, with the ability that he's got, and I can see, you know, when he's on a better wavelength with pros at Derby County, you can see how good he will be. But he's really enjoying his time here.
Is he enjoying all the physicality? Oh, does he like
he's
that?
He's going to get the hustle, bustle and muscle at this level, and this will stand him in good stead for his development.
I put my arm around before the game and said, "Do you enjoy it?" He said, "I love it. I love being smashed. I don't get it in 23's football." Yeah. And it's just great for him. And, you know, him, Curran, you know, look at the reception Curran got when he went behind the goal. You know, he's given his all. You know, people sometimes say that they come on loan to clubs and, you know, sometimes they hold a bit back. These kids aren't. These kids want to play for FC United.
Well, I looked right through the team and the effort was there and the quality was there, the enthusiasm was there, you know, the consistency level. I keep going on about this word consistency, even in the broadcasting. And today, consistently, from the first minute to the last minute, you was there.
Yeah.
You was in the play. You was in the fight. You was in the creation of whatever. And it was, you know, it was pleasing on the eye. We've got to take it into that next game and then the next game.
Absolutely.
And just keep picking at it all the time.
Because you have talked about, haven't you? You've talked about two different 45 minutes on a number of occasions. So it must be getting pleasing now where you've seen today a full 90 of doing what you want. I know there's a couple of things sometimes we switched off and you've got to address those. But overall, 95, 96 minutes in the end of pretty much what you want from your players.
That was good football, though, that way, wasn't it, today?
Good football. I want people to be brave. I want them to play. I want them to die for themselves out there. I don't want you to leave anything behind. And I think today they did that for each other. And I'm so proud of them. And the results will take care of themselves if they perform like that. We've got to get ready for Radcliffe in the Manchester Cup Tuesday night. And then big game next Saturday, United reunited against Buxton, you know, next week. And,
of course.
You know, we're going to take so much from this now today. And, you know, we are really looking forward to games. Now, games can't come quick enough for us.
Now, from our perspective, you know, I know from a manager's perspective, you've got every player out there and they've all got 100% today. But there's two players in particular that we pointed out today that we just thought were magnificent.
And is it Potts and Doyle?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean,
so they could be four.
They could be four. real standard. And actually, talking of Potts, actually, because you played him in a higher role today.
Yeah.
And he was excellent, don't get me wrong. But there was just two players that we looked at all through the game. Luke Griffiths and Adam Dodd.
Yeah.
I thought Griffiths particularly, Dodd was your man of the match, wasn't
he?
Mine was Griffiths. Yeah. Just absolutely epitomised everything you want to see in the team.
I've done a lot of work with Griff. You know, he came as an attacking midfielder. You know, he's more of a quarterback role, getting me brave on the ball and spraying passes. And, you know, he's been patient and we've done loads of work in training on him. You've seen today, you know, he's gone out there, he's played in between the two centre-halves, he's got on it, he's moved the ball really well. And Doddy, you know why I signed him. You know I went back to my old club. He's the best left back in this league. I'm the one above. You know,
I like him.
He's got a great job.
Yeah.
That's why he hasn't got any higher. But he loves it here. You know, and he's coming me because he likes the way I manage. And, you know, I'm delighted for him. You see his reaction. He's an absolute winner.
You see the consistency of Dodd in the last game, this game, and games I've watched him in previously. He's there all the time. He very rarely gives the ball away.
And
support down that line. He gives you that little bit of width.
And he's got really competition in Joyce as well. He's keeping him out. You know, Joyce is probably getting any team in our league at left back, but, you know, he knows he's got to be patient.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well, listen.
Yeah, let's go enjoy it.
You enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Well done.
Cheers.
Then.
Brilliant.
Well, right.
There you got it. You got it from the manager there. We let him speak. Because I get a criticism, don't I? Well, we let the manager speak. We let him go for it. Warmly, he went for it. Superb.
Right, closing thoughts to you. Radcliffe on Tuesday, it's going to be a slightly different FC United team, but then Buxton
next Saturday at Broadhurst Park.
Yeah, I think the Radcliffe game, I mean, you're not only battling Radcliffe, you're battling the elements as well, like, you know, the openness and the bobbly pitch as well. And they'll be out to try and, you know, put one over on the FC. The Buxton game, you still got a battle on your hands because, you know, Azza, he is a bit of a battler, you know, at the end of the day, and as a player and as a person. And, you know, we'll have to go out and win these games. As for today, I thought the football level was quality. And I'd like to say that it was for the full 90 minutes as well. And Stalley Bridge also played their part in it, you know, because they never gave FC players any sort of time on the ball. They were on it, so obviously FC had to be on it as well.
Well done FC for keep going, and that's from Rick Coleman in Leicester. And I think you're right, Roy. I think that what you've seen today is the tempo was up there, wasn't it? It was bang, 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 bang from both teams, and it was a pleasure to watch. You know, even with the mistakes, and you know,
I don't know. I think the first half it wasn't really clicking at all in a lot of ways.
I disagree to a degree. I think the work rate was there. Yeah. I think the there was mistakes being made, but
it came in dollops, didn't it, rather than flows.
Yeah. Well, on that note, that is the end of FC Live. Thank you to Swampy, thank you to Woodso and James, and to Statle Paul. Big squad today.
And thank you to you, Ben, as well.
Small squad on Tuesday, though.
Yeah, we're keeping it neat and tidy.
Who's back Tuesday?
It's just you and Paul, I think.
Me and Paul. And you?
Well, yeah, I'll be there chipping in. Just make sure.
I've got a game. So
making
a
sure game, that you're not crossing any Ofcom lines, because we are live on North Manchester FM on Tuesday as well.
Yes, that's when you actually try to speak properly, don't you?
But Ben, I'd like to say thank you to you as well.
Thank you, Roy.
You know, because I think you put a really good show on for us here.
Oh, thanks.
And all we have to do is turn up and just star.
Yeah, we are the stars. Yeah. But he does get chauffeur driven here, don't forget.
All right, okay. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, and all the way home I get told how much I should appreciate being chauffeur driven. So,
Anyway,
we're back tomorrow as well with Women's Team Live in the FA Cup. It's Morecambe against FC United from Broadhurst Park. So join us from 2 o'clock if you can make it. But thank you to Borough Fold and Stalley Bridge Celtic for their hospitality this afternoon. And thank you. It's good to have Swampy back as well.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon following FC's 3-2 win over Stalley Bridge Celtic. As discussed, next up for the Reds will be a trip to Radcliffe in the Manchester Premier Cup. The address for the ground is Stainton Park, Radcliffe, M26 3PE. That's Stainton Park, M26 3PE. Kick-off on Tuesday will be at 7:45 p.m, but remember, if you cannot make the game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live from 7:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And on your radios in and around North Manchester on North Manchester 106.6 FM. FC United will also be in action this Saturday as well, as Renault's Reds welcome Buxton to Broadhurst Park. Kick-off for United Reunited Day on Saturday will be at 3 p.m, with full coverage available on FC Radio from 2:30 p.m. I said that's the way that I like it. I said that's the way that I like it. I said that's the way that I like it. I said that's the way that I like it. I said that's the way that I like it. On the FC Radio. Women's team news now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United welcome Morecambe to Broadhurst Park for the rearranged tie in the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. To hear how the Reds got on, it's over to Ben.
So, hello everybody, and welcome to Women's Team Live. You join us here back on a Sunday afternoon at the back of the main stand facing the 3G pitch. It's FC United against Morecambe in the first qualifying round of this season's Women's FA Cup. It's been a long time coming, this fixture. Two postponements up in Lancashire, and the game has finally been switched here to Broadhurst Park to get the game completed, because obviously there's a second qualifying round to come as well. Brighouse awaits the winners of this one, and hopefully that'll be back here at Broadhurst Park back next Sunday, but not counting our chickens, because Morecambe have had a very good start to this season's North West Women's Premier Division, currently sitting second in the league table. They've only played two league games, admittedly, which is the same as FC United, and they've got identical records, played 2-1-2 and a goal difference of plus 5. We haven't got a team sheet, unfortunately, so I've got no idea how we're going to be commentating on this afternoon, but fingers crossed it's not going to ruin your enjoyment too much. And I have no idea who the referee is, but he's going to be assisted by two linesmen who, again, no idea, but I'm sure they're wonderful people. FC United will be attacking the St Mary's Road in this first half. The sun is shining, but it is very, very blustery, and I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to get some rainfall this afternoon as well here on the 3G pitch. Patient continues to run. Smith keeps the ball though and tries to find a ball there to Chambers. It's well defended though by the visitors, and then they give the ball away. Here's O'Gara to Smith. Smith now, is there enough curl on that ball? There is. It's going to find Chambers, who lobs the keeper. There's not enough on that ball though, and Morecambe don't get it clear, and that is careless defending there from the Lancashire side. But great tenacity from Kirsty Chambers. She lobbed the keeper initially. There wasn't enough weight on the lob to cross it over the line. Morecambe nearly cleared it, but then divvied right on the edge of their own goal line. And then Chambers just went, thank you very much. And 5 minutes into this second half, FC United take the lead 1-0 here in this FA Cup first qualifying round tie against Morecambe. It's a cagey pass again. FC United looking to capitalise, and McCarrick plays it to Chambers, back to McCarrick. Here's Hartley now. Hartley on the edge of the penalty area on the left hand side. Oh, she puts it in. Well, I thought she was aiming for a cross, and to be honest with you, there wasn't that much pace on that shot, but it was directed and targeted right to the far corner. And with 9 minutes played of this second half, FC United have doubled their lead, and it's 2-0 to FC. Hartley the scorer of the second. They've got 15 minutes left to get to the second qualifying round stage. And at the moment, it's Morecambe pressing FC United, but not testing the goalkeeper. And that might change here. What a shot from their number four. And Ainsworth couldn't keep that ball out. It flies into the net. And FC United, with 15 minutes left to play here, I've now got a one-goal lead. It's 2-1 to FC United. That was a fine finish there. Luke's with the ball. Luke's infield. Finds McCarrick in the centre circle. McCarrick now lays it off to Fields. Fields now looking for that run of Chambers. Good first touch from Chambers. Opens up a body, shoots! And it's a third for FC United. Just as Morecambe were looking like they were going to get back into this game, Fields and Chambers combine. And FC United make it 3-1 with 13 minutes left to play here at Broadhurst Park, and that's probably the tie, although given how Morecambe have played in the last few minutes or so, who knows. And can ball get this over to Luke's? Luke's is miles onside in loads of space, and now to the edge of the penalty area she comes from the right hand side, tries to find Chambers. Chambers' shot is sliced. Hartley plays the ball right along the goal line. It's kept in play here by Luke's. Here's Chambers now. She's challenged. It's a fair challenge, and it breaks to O'Gara. Shoots some distance. What a finish from Kate O'Gara. And with 9 minutes left to play here, I think I can now confirm FC United will be hosting Brighouse next weekend in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. It's 4-1 here, back in the first qualifying round against Morecambe, and FC United, I think, have finally put this game to bed. 4-1 the score. Kate O'Gara there with a peach of a finish. Full time here at Broadhurst Park. FC United are through to the second qualifying round of the FA Cup, where they'll take on Brighouse here at Broadhurst Park next weekend. It was 0-0 at half time, but that soon changed into the second half. Kirsty Chambers there, who's very much been leading from the front this afternoon with the first goal of the afternoon. And well, at that point, it was happy days, because a couple of minutes later, Robin Hartley pops up and puts the ball into the net, and that made it 2-0. But then
Well, it was an absolute belter of a goal from Morecambe on 75 minutes to make it a bit more edgy. But then it was a quick riposte from Kirsty Chambers to make it 3-1. And then right at the end, I think sealing a player of the match performance, Kate O'Gara steps up from about 23 yards out and buries it into the top corner to make it 4-1 to FC United, and FC through to the second qualifying round against Brighouse next week here at Broadhurst Park. Not sure if it's going to be in the main stadium or out on the 3G, but one thing is for sure, we will have full commentary available right here on FC Radio. For podcast listeners, coming up next will be Cameron Hussein speaking with our very own Neil Boo. But that's it for Women's Team Live here on a Sunday afternoon. And I can happily report FC United through to the next round of the FA Cup. It's finished FC United and Manchester 4, Morecambe 1. And we'll see you on Tuesday for that men's team match in the Manchester Premier Cup against Radcliffe. See you soon. Bye-bye.
I'm here with Cameron Hussein, FC United's women's manager, after a successful 4-1 win, but it was, although reasonably close until the last quarter of an hour, we were always on top.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't a bad performance, especially that considering we haven't played for 4 weeks. I thought it was just telling the girls to go through the motions again and just get that bit of pitch rust out of the way and just to hit the ground running and kind of get going again, because it's felt like an absolute eternity since we last played.
Yeah, I mean, it is a month, isn't it, with three cup matches having been called off or postponed, that we were probably always going to be a little bit, like you said, a bit ring rusty in front of nets or other parts around the pitch. But I thought we contained Morecambe pretty much all the way through, you know, 99% of the match. Just that one strike they had on the nets, I don't think they had another shot on target. And Chloe had quite a safe day, really.
Yeah, I spoke to the girls afterwards and we discussed that. I thought defensively we were quite compact and we were quite organised, and there was minimal chances in terms of how many they created in terms of the volume of chances. But I thought at the same time we were good on our part in terms of defence, and we kept possession, so we kept the ball quite well, so it didn't really give them that much chance to create constantly.
No, we did well. We did exactly what we needed to do. It was a 4-1 win that we hit back as soon as they had scored as well, which sort of like calmed them down, because you could see they were starting to bubble up again a little bit because they'd looked a little bit tired in the second half. But we've got to move on now, and we'll be in the second round next week back here against Brighouse. We've played them a few times in pre-season friendlies and stuff, but I presume this will be a bit of a tougher test.
Absolutely, I'm really looking forward to Brighouse. I feel like somebody who's in the league above, and they're potentially going for the league, so they are one of the contenders. So I think it'll be a real good test for us in terms of looking forward towards next season if we do go up, and pushing ourselves. I think that's something that's massive that I've said to the girls, that we are always constantly trying to develop and push ourselves and dominate, and whether it's in the league above or in our league or not, we always try and test ourselves and put ourselves to the sword a little bit in terms of seeing if we are capable of adapting to different styles of football. So it'll be nice to, especially to have it at home as well, so I think we'll definitely look forward to that, and it should be a great occasion. I'm sure they'll have a big following that'll come down as well, and we've got our own following, so it should be a good day.
Yeah, well, I'd certainly look forward to it. We most of our pre-season matches were against higher division teams as well, and we didn't come unstuck badly against any of those, really. So it should be a nice game, and let's hope we can get plenty of fans down, and hopefully the weather will keep dry.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
Thanks, Neil. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.